I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome into the First Cut podcast live on CBS Sports Network. The moment grows near. The 88th playing of the Masters on the way. And while weather is in the forecast Thursday, beyond that, it should be a bluebird setting. The azaleas in bloom and the field back in one. How about our field? Kyle Porter, Greg Ducharme, and Patrick McDonald here. I want to do this justice, fellas. I am your interim host, Joe Musso, here standing in for the great Rick Gaiman, who is pursuing both enlightenment of flora and fauna this week at Augusta National. So I hope to fill his shoes properly, but let's do it how he does it. Patrick McDonald, chock full of antihistamines. How we doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. I'm not going to lie. I know I'm one of the writers on this program right now, but I didn't understand about five or six words you just threw at me. hopefully we can figure that out as we go on. But Joe, it's great to have you on with us.
Well, I heard like DJ a few years back, you're playing this one under the weather. So I wanted to make sure that we are properly doctored heading into this pod. The sweet swinging Greg Ducharme always in the slot. Greg, how we feeling?
Oh, Joe, I'm feeling great. You and I got to get out on the golf course soon, because whenever this tournament rolls around, it makes you want to play golf even more. And I can't wait. The sun is shining outside up here. Not quite the way it is down there for Kyle Porter. So I'm really looking forward to talking about this tournament and then you and I getting out on that first tee on our own.
Time and place, my friend, but the time and the place is right now at Augusta. The unmistakable pen of Kyle Porter joining us right now from the grounds. KP, most importantly, what'd you get me from the merchandise shop?
Well, I was going to say, you guys were talking about Rick Gaiman being pursuing flora and fauna. I just left Rick Gaiman. He's pursuing things from the merchandise tent right now. So don't confuse those two things. But it's a great day out here. I wish we were getting this weather tomorrow. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. If we were, I was in Jordan Spieth's press conference yesterday, and he kind of insinuated, if we get two more days of this sunshine, we're going to get an Augusta National as fiery as we've seen it in a decade. Now, the unfortunate part is it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case with weather rolling in overnight.
KP, I want to operate here in the positive off the top. We will talk about the weather a little bit further, but just give us a sense of the moment right now. It felt like one of those years where we were ready to start the tournament on a Tuesday, but what's Wednesday feel like right now?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, I was talking about this with somebody just before we came on, and it's been there's a lot of people here. Like, it's really full, which I think is, you know, not necessarily what we've seen from this golf year. You've seen PGA Tour and LIV Golf and maybe not the best ratings and maybe not the fullest tournaments. it's loaded up here. It's packed here, and it's been awesome. But it's also a little bit subdued, and I don't know. I'm not totally sure why that is, Joe. I don't know if it's, you know, kind of the tension of the PGA Tour and LIV stuff is worn off, or if people are just ready to get to the golf. There haven't been a ton of great winners coming into this tournament, but it's been a little bit more subdued for me than it was last year and maybe in the last few years coming in.
I know Joe wants to stick to the negatives, KP. I'm going to stick to the positives. I'm going to stick to the negatives. Wednesday afternoon before the majors, last place you want to be is kind of the practice area, grinding on your game, trying to find something. Who are the grinders so far that you've seen? Is it a Victor Hovland who's going down a rabbit hole? Is it someone else or a couple players maybe perhaps?
Well, I've got a couple guys here behind me. We've got Kurt Kitayama out here. He's grinding with Tim Tucker, who's Bryson DeChambeau's old caddy. We've got Adrian Meronk in his Los Cliques gear, just rolling around out here in his LIV golf gear. And then we've got we've actually got a really interesting one and maybe somebody that we can hit on, which is John Rahm. He's hitting some pitch shots just to my left, your right, if you're watching on TV. And Rahm is interesting. I don't know if he's out here late because there was some indigestion from that magnificent dinner that he served last night. I don't know if he's out here late because the short game isn't where he wants it. But he's somebody that I think there's a lot at stake here this week. With him trying to become the first guy to go back-to-back since Tiger Woods in 2001, 2002.
It feels like tapas can be divisive at times. I, for one, I'm all in. KP, everything around John Rahm seems a little bit divisive right now. We're going to get into this field later on in the hour, but you alluded to it. Mother Nature with an early tee time on Thursday, literally right as we're about to start golf, we are likely to see some serious inclement weather. If we do get a softened Augusta National over, let's say, the first, second round as we get going here and try and set a cut line and play on pace, do you think that opens the, I don't know, opportunity of outcome, a softened Augusta National, or does this really make it into one of these things we've seen in the past where you got to get out on the right foot?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, Joe. I don't know that it necessarily helps anybody. You know, we always joke about how if it rains at Augusta, Rory's going to win by eight. I don't know that's ever actually going to happen. But I think it does hurt a few guys. And so I think by hurting guys, like I would throw Scottie Scheffler in there. I would throw a Jordan Spieth in there. Jordan Spieth he's got 10 years of experience, which feels crazy. He's talking about playing the par three with two of his kids right now, which is just an astonishing thing to say out loud, considering we saw him coming in as this, this 20-year-old off the John Deere win back in 2014. He won in 2013, almost won the 2014 Masters that he got into based on that John Deere win. So he's got a ton of experience around Augusta, and I think when you get a softer, wetter, not as fiery, not as fast course, it hurts the guys that are super disciplined, like Scottie Scheffler. And it hurts the guys that have a lot of course knowledge and have had good history here, like a Jordan Spieth, like a Phil Mickelson, who's obviously not the contender I think that Spieth is this year, but still in the same vein of having a ton of course knowledge.
Kyle, we've seen over the past couple of majors or many of the majors in the last couple of years, we've seen a significant wave advantage because there's been so much weather as a factor in these majors. When you look at this weather report, do you think the guys that are teeing off a little later, like a Tiger Woods, have an advantage, or do you think the advantage goes more towards the guys in the morning tee times, if at all?
Yeah, it seems like kind of the late morning, Greg, where Tiger is going to be weird because he especially, I think, might be hurt by this. He might play like three holes on Friday, or excuse me, on Thursday, and then come back and have to play, 25 or 34 on Friday just to get to, I guess that'd be 37. He wouldn't play 37. He'd play 33 on Friday just to get two rounds in. I don't think that's great for somebody like him. And I think you're going to get a little bit of the wonkiness that we've seen at past Masters where it gets bumped into Friday. You're trying to catch up to get the finish on Sunday. I think that really benefits guys that are either, I don't know necessarily early, but that late morning Scheffler, Rory, Xander group where, hey, you can probably still get your 18 in on Thursday And then you're kind of good to go for the rest of the week, depending on how Friday goes. So I think it helps the guys kind of early to late morning more than the guys in the afternoon.
I'm being told that there is a payphone ringing. Kyle Porter needed on the opposite side here of the grounds. KP, before we let you go, we do appreciate you taking some time out. What appears to be just a beautiful day out there at Augusta National. I need two things from you. I need a pick, and I need to know what's got you most fired up for this Masters. The storyline, the thing, like, where are you crafting your lead right now? Subject to change, but what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I'll start with that one, and it's going to be no surprise to you, Joe. We've been texting about this for most of the last couple of months. Jordan Spieth is completely out of control right now. He said last week, Joe, settled him down and had was calming for him. He was playing balls off of roofs, off of facilities out of TPC San Antonio. I don't know what we're getting. We might get 40 birdies and he might finish T11. I have no idea what to expect, which is always a great time. I've tried to talk myself out of picking Scottie Scheffler all week. It seems like too easy of a pick. It seems like the straightforward thing to do. Well, guess what? That's how Scottie Scheffler plays. He's straightforward. It's not easy. It's difficult and disciplined for him, but it looks easy because of the difficulty and the discipline that he puts in. So I'm picking Scottie Scheffler to win his second in 3 years here at Augusta National.
Hey, being right is always smart. The great Kyle Porter joining us here on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network. KP, we appreciate you. Go enjoy your day. We got plenty more coming throughout the hour here on the First Cut Podcast. Coming up, we take a look at some enhancements at Augusta, the latest changes up next.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Back on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network, Joe Musso alongside Greg Ducharme and Patrick McDonald. Here to take a look at some of the changes, because so much of the Masters is rooted in tradition and what we expect to see, but what we see year to year has been tweaked, has been changed to keep up with the times. Some enhancements, dare I say, to this year's Augusta National, most notably, and where my eyes go first, are to number two. It's been lengthened backwards, creating a little bit more space, creating a longer number for these players to deal with at the very scoreable second. But Greg, that second shot into two is one of my favorite on the golf course, especially when you get that right side Louis Oost pin where things can trickle down and get better and better with the passing time. What does this change, the lengthening of number two in your eyes, strategy and then execution wise?
You know, the lengthening is part of it. The other part of the equation is what they've done to this green. So you look at they added 10 yards in length, which is not a huge deal because you're dealing with, you know, if you're able to get it past that bunker, you're able to get it on that downslope. There's quite a bit of release, quite a bit of rollout. So it may bring that into play where longer hitters can cover that, shorter players can't. But I don't think it's a huge difference off the tee. The big difference is in the green. And they did a couple things with this green. One, it shifted. It almost like rotated clockwise. So the back left portion of the green is now actually deeper, farther away from the player than the back right portion, which it used to be twisted the other way. So when you think about that Louis Oosthuizen shot, it kind of feeds towards the back right. But that shifted. It's a little more straight on now. So the ridge that players so commonly use to get to that Louis Oosthuizen pin, that ridge used to run a little bit more north-south, and now it runs a little more east-west. And I think that's a really interesting move, especially on third shots. You know, and you look at with this wind with the wind condition, especially Thursday when you have a south wind, that hole is going to play into the wind. I don't know how many guys are going to be able to reach that green in two when it's playing into a 20 mile an hour wind. And then when you have the westerly wind, it should actually be a little more favorable, but a right to left wind. And that may make those right hole locations a little more difficult to access.
Yeah, and I think one thing we didn't mention was the tee boxes moved to the left as well. So that bunker, from the player's point of view off the tee, pretty much looks like the center of the fairway. And a lot of these guys, the best players in the world, for the most part, they're faders of the golf ball. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, it's left to right, left to right, left to right. And when they do want to turn it over, they got to pull fairway wood, which will leave them a mile into this green. And like Greg said, if it's playing into the wind, remember a couple Masters ago, number 15, Musso, another great second shot. I mean, the historic shots we've seen there from Nicklaus, I mean, Sergio hitting the pin in 17. No one went for that green that year. It was cold. There were no eagles that year. I don't think the change is going to be that drastic, but the four par fives, that's where you got to make your hay at Augusta National, right? The other 14 holes all play over par. It's very difficult scoring despite what, you know, some people may perceive. And so I think it's a very interesting modification and one that falls in line with the last 3 years of lengthening par fives.
Yeah, it's a great point, Patrick, because what we saw at 15 there became really a wedge exhibition there across the creek. And you saw less balls being played from beyond 15, which is one of my favorite spots to watch guys try and navigate what's beyond that green. But there are other changes, and we know nothing changes at Augusta or enhances for no reason. We're talking about the second there, which last year played as the easiest hole on the course, well under par. One of the harder pins, hole locations on the course is when we get to number six, where there's been more change around that green, the plateau on the right, almost impossible to get to. And then you have to see so much creativity from the green side once again. But they've expanded that area on the right side of six green, Patrick. How do you think that this changes what we might see when the hole is over there on the right?
I love number six in general. I don't think any hole is underrated at Augusta National, but when you have those par threes, you know, number 12, obviously, 15 gets a lot of, or 16 gets a lot of love as well, just given that hole in one Sunday traditional pin location. But sixes, you can make a one, you can make a six, you can make everything in between. And I think what they've done, making the area behind that plateau part of the green more penal, it might make players more conservative. And we see guys try to attack that pin location when it is up on that plateau and get rejected all the time, whether it's to the left or even short, falling off. But if you're long there, historically, you have been able to kind of get away with it. And now that miss long of that pin location is much more penal, where there's a world where guys are just going to be like, hey, par on this hole is a very good score. I can try to pick up a birdie in a couple holes on number eight if I need to. Let's play out to the left, the fat part of the green, and try to two putt up that slope. So I'm really interested to see how players kind of attack that pin location when it is up on the plateau.
Now, Patrick, the other thing is they did a little bit of work, added some additional area for additional hole locations on the back left. Now, this back left portion, when players have traditionally missed there, it's not uncommon to see players chip off the green. So if you do go left, as you're suggesting some players might, that can leave a very difficult putt. But they also did, they enhanced the green back there as well. So I'm very curious, and I don't know the answer to this at this point, if that little tongue that sticks out in the middle of the green will impede play. So that putt, there's a chance that it got more difficult. There's a chance it became more manageable. But all in all, with the analytics in the game the way they are, when you have that back right hole location, I have a feeling that these players and their coaches are going to suggest this is one of those shots you just got to step up and hit. You got to hit it right at the flag. The area on the green, on the putting surface, has gotten bigger. And let's not worry about the penalty long. Let's try to get it on that proper plateau and increase our chances of actually making a birdie. Because putting from down on that left side of the green, or if you have to chip off of that green, it's extremely difficult. And if you're fortunate enough to be going to the Masters this year, that is a green you have to see in person, because that back right portion is so much steeper than it even appears on TV.
From back right to front left, almost 5 feet of height difference. You could be standing on the front left and you can't see the back right. It's going to be amazing to watch all the nuances, the subtleties change. Lengthening, not the only enhancement at Augusta National. Found it interesting earlier in the week, Chairperson Ridley saying it could be an 8,000-yard Masters. It's not where he wants to see it contested, but came out in support of the rollback and the USGA's plan to do so, because they don't want to have to take this thing to 8,000 yards, north of 7,500, if not mistaken, moving forward. We are also moving forward here on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network. Plenty more coming as we assess the field, some midfield opportunities ripe for the taking. We'll be back soon.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger, because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Back on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network, here to wrangle some of the finest minds in the game. Joe Musa, your host, alongside Greg Ducharme and Patrick McDonald. And I want to go inside those minds right now, because this is one of those weeks that doesn't require storyline. It doesn't require any sort of conflict. We come for what the Masters is, but we always get those ancillary things as well. So, Greg, I'm coming your way first here. What is the one thing on your mind right now? Like the thought you can't shake. KP is telling us about Spieth and all the calamity that could ensue. What's your Spieth?
Yeah, for me, it's Rory McIlroy, and it has been for about 10 years in a row now. And I think, I'm wondering if it's going to continue to be that way. I mean, this is an opportunity for something historic on many levels. He'd be the sixth person to complete the career Grand Slam, most recent since Tiger Woods. He'd be only the second person ever to make the Masters the last leg of the career Grand Slam. The only other person to do that was Gene Sarazen, and the Masters is not what it is today back in 1935. So, you know, these are historical elements. And the other element is every other player who's completed the career Grand Slam has done it on their third try or better. For Rory, this is now his 10th try. So as this pressure continues to build, Joe, are we looking at something that is a Arnold Palmer and a PGA Championship story, a Sam Snead and a U.S. Open, a Phil Mickelson and a U.S. Open story, or will Rory join those five players with the career Grand Slam, and will his legacy last forever in that regard?
And it's not just external pressure. It is certainly internal pressure and something he's dealing with between his ears, because we know if he hits his irons well, he's going to be in the mix with a chance to do it. And as you laid out, so much history out in front of us if he can. Six is so few. But Patrick, 10 times now, as Greg said, he's had a chance to do this thing, and he has not. And it seems like this is the 10th different strategy he's rolling out, not playing the par three, arriving late, the presser a day ago cut short either by his own doing or for some other reason. What do you make of this latest game plan he's rolling out there to try and get the Grand Slam?
I think he had a swing out west to pick up Rick and bring him to Augusta National in the PJ, perhaps. But yeah, like you said, last year it was 80 practice holes, a new putter, a new driver shaft. He only had 22 putts with that Scotty Cameron in the practice round. Everyone was super excited, and then he lays a big fat egg and misses the cut for the second time in the last 3 years. I'm great with him showing up late, being the last player on the property. I think he has caddy bib number 89. So officially the last player on the property, and it can't hurt. I mean, there's so many people, you scroll through the Getty images. There's guys in green jackets just coming up, shaking his hand left and right. And you know, they're saying like, oh, we're really rooting for you this year. That just has to play with your mind so much if you're Rory McIlroy, because you want to win the Masters so bad for all the historical implications Greg just laid out. And so I love the preparation there at the Texas Open. He got rid of the big numbers, didn't make many mistakes. The swing seems to be in a much more controlled spot than where it was, say, the first 3 months of the year. And with for him, it's just getting off to a decent start on Thursday. It will be interesting with that grouping of Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, statistically two of the best players in the world at the moment. If he can kind of stay in his own lane and not get out in front of himself, he said he has to try not to win this tournament on Thursday. That will be very interesting to see if one of them who are playing great golf goes super low in the tough conditions.
All right, I'm not refuting either of our points of interest right now, but I just have to speak it into the record. Our two names and our two most greatest points of excitement right now, guy who hasn't won a major in a decade, guy who hasn't won a major since 2017. They forever bring eyes, McIlroy and Spieth, and they will once again this week. One already in the club, one everybody wants in the club. Tiger sitting at a podium saying it's only a matter of time. The pressure is so great for Rory. We will see how he deals with it. Patrick McDonald, your focus is where heading into Thursday?
It is the guy playing with Rory McIlroy, and that is world number one, Scottie Scheffler. Just what he has done, not only this season, but really since winning the 2022 Masters from a statistical sense, it is on a Tiger Woods level from tee to green. And the run he's on currently, a win, a second place finish, great preparation going into this this year's Masters. And I just think he's leaps and bounds better than anyone on the PGA Tour. Now, if defending champion Jon Rahm or five-time major champion Brooks Koepka have something to say, that remains to be seen. But I mean, we're looking at a Masters that if the wave advantage isn't too big one way or another, Scottie Scheffler could potentially have his way and slip on his second green jacket. So I think for Scheffler, it's been seven majors since that 2022 Masters. He's played himself in the mix plenty. 2023 US Open, he was right there. The PGA Championship, he was the 36-hole leader. Had a shot at Brookline as well, a putt on the 72nd hole to force a playoff with Matt Fitzpatrick. And so he doesn't have to deal with those extracurriculars of hosting the Champions Dinner. His presser sounds great. You know, it's all about the process. He's trying to pull a page out of Joel Embiid's book, I guess. He talks about the process, the process, the process. And you just have to love every time this guy opens his mouth, you just nod. You're like, yes, that's what it's all about. And he has the game to back it up, too. It's just everything points to Scottie Scheffler this week. And you feel like a dummy if you don't pick him to slip on the green jacket. It just feels like a shoo-in at this point.
And you think about that title defense where he finished tied 10th last year. He still led the field tee to green. He led the field in greens of regulation and finished tied 10th because of a putter that was, well, let's just say poor. And all of a sudden, he goes to a mallet putter. He makes some adjustments with his coach, Phil Kenyon. He goes to a longer putter. It's got a thinner grip. His hands are closer together on the grip. All elements that lead to a little bit more freedom. He's also taken the line off the golf ball. And since he's done that, he's gained strokes putting every single week. And that is a scary thing for the remainder of the field. I mean, you are a couple of silly mistakes away from him entering this tournament with three wins in a row. And it doesn't feel like a challenge for him. I mean, one of them, he's got a stiff neck. One of them, he wins by five. And one of them, he makes a... I mean, in Houston, he three putts from 7 feet because he's not really paying attention. It's on the 18th green. It was kind of a bizarre situation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Scottie Scheffler now, and this is his focus will be at an extremely high level, and his ability is there. I mean, he's hitting 76% of his greens.
It's unbelievable. The ball striking numbers are breathtaking. But I want to go to Houston for a second, because you brought up the three putt. Obviously, a lapse in focus. That's something we are sure that Scottie Scheffler is going to have fully dialed this week. He is exactly who you need to be to win a Masters. The strategy, it's always spectacular. But the last stroke, or the second to last stroke of the tournament for him, it wasn't just a bad putt. It was a bad tentative stroke, and he has had 2 weeks to sit and fester in that. We know he's not the type of guy who's going to let that weigh on him too much, but how much stock do you, Greg, put into that?
Almost none. You know, in a strange way, it's better that he's coming in with a little bit of, something more to prove. And it doesn't pass me by that he loses his focus for a couple moments in the Houston Open. But when it's the Players' Championship or the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he doesn't. And I find that to be very interesting. I think he will be on very high alert this week at the Masters. And those kinds of things shouldn't get under his skin at that level. I mean, he has handled pressure moments time and time again, pretty much every time he gets himself with a lead. You know, he is extremely difficult to catch. He doesn't lose leads. He sometimes will stumble on a Saturday and he won't make the comeback you expect, but he doesn't lose leads. So I don't think that miss on the 72nd hole in Houston will have any effect.
And it seems like from the fan standpoint, at least the masses warming to the greatness of Scottie Scheffler, the whole boring interview thing, it seemed to wear off. He's very thoughtful. He's very measured, and he's very fun to watch play from the middle of the fairway. We'll probably see plenty of that throughout the week. For me, I'm looking forward to just a referendum on experience at this place. We got two of the top 10 players in the world making their way about Augusta National for the first time in their careers. Then you have guys coming over from LIV with plenty of experience at this place, but that have only played, 15 rounds of competitive golf this year. So we're going to see if all of those old adages of you got to be here, you got to play plenty, we're going to see if those stand tall in the face of some of the best in the world. Coming up on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network, we'll talk about those players in the middle of the field that have a fantastic chance to make some noise this week at the 88th playing of the Masters.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Back on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network, Joe Musso, Greg Ducharme, Patrick McDonald, Rick Gaiman joining the show, I promise, in the not-too-distant future here to offer up picks and more from Augusta. But fellas, let's talk about this field, because I am enamored with the midfield. We've been talking about the midfield all season long, but it's different types of names when it's just the PGA Tour. This week and three more to follow this season, sort of highlighting how good the game of golf could be if it were about the fan experience, but I digress. Greg, just off the top here, I know we're going to get to some names that you like in the midfield, but what does this depth do to the competition overall in your eyes?
You know, it's fascinating for a couple of reasons, because there is so much depth, but at the same time, there's a mixture of performance levels, you know, so you're starting to see some very interesting things. When you look up at the top of the board, you have a Wyndham Clark, who this time last year would have been, I mean, quite frankly, wouldn't even have been a midfield guy, would have been a lower field guy. You have guys like Ludvig Åberg working their way up into that kind of level. And then you have guys like Patrick Cantlay, who we know is capable of winning big time tournaments, but the form has been subpar. Colin Morikawa, two-time major champion, his form has been subpar. Victor Hovland, form has been subpar. So that it's a very curious mix of guys who have kind of come from the lower end of the the low field, if you will, work their way up into the midfield, and guys that have been up in the midfield who have worked their way down into the midfield. So it's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. And on the other end of that spectrum, Greg, there's a lot of major champions there. You think Bryson DeChambeau, he might be the best golfer ever to just be horrible at Augusta National. 7 trips, 0 top 20s. We obviously know the par 67 comment because he can drive number 3. It hasn't turned out too great for him ever since that, but he's playing really good golf right now on LIV Golf. I think he has 4 straight top 10 finishes there, played great at Doral. And then a lot of other guys just kind of flying under the radar. Will Zalatoris, who has been phenomenal in major championships in his young career, 6 top 5s and 10 appearances, 2 top 6s here, a runner-up in his debut to Hideki Matsuyama in 2021. Tony Finau had been great in major championships, learned how to win, so he got that monkey off his back, but the major championship form has kind of fallen at the same time. He's in great form from tee to green. Greg, I know you love him. And then someone who I don't think anyone's really touched on thus far, Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's coming off a top 5 at the Players' Championship, a top 10 at the Texas Open. He won 53 weeks ago, winning the RBC Heritage last year, top 10 at the Masters last year. And so there's a lot of intriguing names, both those who are performing poorly, which, Greg, to be fair, there are a number of stars who just haven't carried the water so far, but there are a number of interesting names as well.
Can we get that board back up? Because it's astounding the value that we're seeing because of this depth in field. And I want you to hitch your cart to a wagon here. We're going to get to picks here coming up later on in the hour. But Greg, when you take a look at this field from 20 something to 60 something, it is big bopper after big bopper. There are major champions within, guys who have the experience, guys who don't. It's really a cornucopia of opportunity. Who do you like to pop from the midfield this week?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of guys. The first one I'll get to, Patrick mentioned earlier, and that's Will Zalatoris. Just looking at his general, his number here and his record in majors, it doesn't seem to match up. And you could say, okay, at the beginning of the year, Will Zalatoris wasn't playing. It was a slow comeback for him. He had to withdraw from this tournament a year ago and have back surgery. So I understand why he might slip in the odds, but he's come back this year, and every time he's gotten onto a major championship-like golf course, you know, a really challenging venue, he's done nothing but contend. You know, tied 13th at the at Torrey Pines. You have had the runner-up finish at the Genesis. Events like that, he has performed at an extremely high level. So that tells me that Will Zalatoris is in major championship form again. And there's a change he's made that could make the difference from all those short near misses that he's had in major championships to this point in his young career. He's now gone to the broomstick. He was using an arm lock putter before, broomstick for the first time this year. Perhaps that makes a difference for him in this first major of the year, the Masters.
Moose, I don't know if I'm going to be hitching my wagon to this guy. More very, very intrigued. It's Bryson DeChambeau.
I'll allow it.
I mean, yeah. we don't get to see this guy, the king of content, the artist formerly known as the Bulk, known as the Mad Scientist. I mean, is he going to have a guy out there on the practice area at Augusta National spraying water on his golf balls to simulate the mist or the rainy conditions there on Thursday? Perhaps you can only have one extra guy out there on the practice area. That is who he might choose. And just it does not make sense. This guy's skill level, this guy's prowess off the tee, he's a great putter as well, and just how he has not been able to figure out Augusta National. Because like I said before, he was, you know, hitting bombs everywhere. He was the mad scientist. He was picking apart golf courses. He was looking at everything in his swing, just trying to get an edge. So I'm kind of inclined to think this is going to be the week where Bryson figures it out. And whether that is a top 20 finally, perhaps. That might be as good as it gets for him with the single length clubs. Mm-hmm. The wedges probably don't work with all the different lies from the fairways, right? Only 18 flat shots here with the 18 tee shots. Outside of that, good luck with everything else. And that might be the reason why, but I'm just so interested and intrigued to see him, you know, maybe shoot a couple rounds in the mid 70s or finally break 70 for once.
It is the need for speed for Patrick McDonald. Hands lifted to the heavens. He'll have his eyes on Bryson DeChambeau as they all look to join the coveted club. They all look to be a part of this picture next year. We got the annual gift of the Masters Champions dinner photo, and man, plenty stands out. This is flagrant work. This is flagrant work by our producer, Ryan Stryker here, brother of First Cut's Mark Immelman. Trevor Immelman going to be with us throughout the weekend on CBS Sports HQ. We will have hits inside 18 Tower with Trevor. Cannot wait for that. But I need a thought here, fellas. So much stands out. It is buckshot of takes on Twitter every year we get this picture. Patrick McDonald, what's your one big thing coming out of this?
My one big thing is the man who Trevor replaced in the tower, Sir Nick Faldo, standing next to Bubba Watson.
That big fella.
After Sir Nick said the worst Masters dinner he had ever eaten was that of Bubba Watson. And there they are standing next to each other.
If somebody's able to win this for the first time and join this club, my one piece of advice is try not to stand next to Adam Scott. Okay, it's not doing anybody any favors.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, he's always going to be the sharpest in the room. I'm sorry, but I need an invite next year. I'll stand outside the room. Obviously, I don't want to. There will be no stolen valor of a champion, but I want to lend a helping hand with a good double Windsor. I see a lot of sloppy knots, but I see nothing but champions there at the dinner. Apparently, it was another great one and a moment we cherish each and every year. We got couple more things coming your way here on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network. Rick Gaiman joining the show as we promised, and he comes bearing gifts. Pick the click next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back on the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network as we add one to the show, and it is the one, the host of the First Cut Podcast, Rick Gaiman. Rick, a pleasure to see you. You're simply glowing right now out there at Augusta National. We hope you've had a fantastic time, but we've brought you here to work. We're talking winners. We're talking long shots. We're going top 10 as well. Rick, lead us right off here, and we're going to dive into the deep end. Your pick to win and why, you've done the homework, takes you where?
Yeah, this is a tough one, and it ended up being, Joe, finding reasons to not select Scottie Scheffler, right? He's coming into the week with some of the shortest non-Tiger Woods Masters odds that we've ever seen. I've been trying to find a way to not pick Scottie to win this, and I haven't done it. He is just the best, by far, tee to green player in the world. Outside of all the statistics that I could throw at you for the next hour and a half, I love this the mental state that he's in right now. He cares just enough. He has separated process from result. There is probably no other golfer in this field who is able to put that mental side into play this week. Oh, and by the way, he's by far the best player in the world. So I don't know if he's going to win. Winning is very difficult, but I know he's going to be in contention on Sunday. He's going to be in the mix. If everything falls in his favor, it's another Masters title for Scottie Scheffler. I wish I could find a way around it, but I cannot.
That's probably the smart play, Rick. And we know Scottie Scheffler is going to be in the mix. What we don't know is what Jordan Spieth is going to do, and that might just be win the whole damn golf tournament. There's an alternate universe not too far away where he has three or four green jackets, T5 or inside the top five last year, had a really good prep start, calming for him there at the Texas Open with a T10, and no one is really better at Augusta National than Jordan Spieth. The iron play is in a good spot. He's driving the living piss out of the golf ball. The putter looks good. The short game is always magical around Augusta National. It's going to be weird the first couple days. I think that plays right into his hands, and if it's firm and fast over the weekend, I love that even more for Spieth.
Well, Patrick, if you're right, which I doubt, I'll be happy and I'll be cheering, but Rick is the one who's right here, okay? This is Scottie Scheffler. And there are times where it feels too good to be true, but sometimes it's just the truth. And in this case of Scottie Scheffler, he is the best player in the world for good reason. It doesn't matter what metric you look at. Of the things that are important at Augusta National, Scottie Scheffler's the best at them. And I mean all of them. So he is absolutely my horse, and I rarely feel as confident as I do about this pick.
I am a third vote for Scottie Scheffler as we sit here. Shortest non-Tiger Masters odds since Greg Norman forever ago. This is historic, and I am too rooting for history in this instance. I just like to point out that Patrick McDonald earlier in the show did say you'd have to be an idiot not to choose Scottie Scheffler and went on to choose Jordan Spieth. I just want to let the facts stand where they will on that note. We have seen plenty of winners this year come from the midfield. Long shots, first-time winners, five. I'm not here to suggest that a first-timer is going to get it done, but we do have opportunity there in the middle of this pack from that 22-1 to 60-1 range. Rick Gaiman, who's a longer number that you think could be there on Sunday, a live ticket with a chance?
It's a very juicy range, Joe, and I do want to remind people that this is the range before we got a bunch of LIV Golf defections. This was the range that disproportionately won more than it should. This was kind of the honeypot of the betting board for years until just recently. And I look at somebody like Cam Smith, already an Open champion, and he has the short game to play around Augusta National. He's reliant on his short game, in fact. It's one of the things that I worry on a weekly basis for Cam Smith, but not here. This is a place where you're going to have to find a way to separate yourself from the field. One of the best ways to do it is both on and around the putting surfaces. His LIV results in 2024 have been okay. He had to withdraw last week in Miami. He had a little bit of a stomach bug. That's not expected to give him any issues moving forward. So I think we've got a pedigree here and a guy who sets up really well for this golf course who can give it a run on Sunday.
A fellow countryman who has won here, the only Australian to win the Masters, Adam Scott. I think the Wiley vet has one more run in him. He's driving the golf ball great. The iron play has kind of been hit or miss, and he's got that same broomstick that Will Zalatoris does. He hasn't missed a cut since that win 11 years ago now, which is crazy to think. And I just think we saw someone like Phil Mickelson finish runner-up. He lost to one guy last year. I think someone like Adam Scott still has that left in the tank. He has the speed. He has the distance. And I think he still has the game.
And I'm going to go with Tony Finau. He has basically, if you've been watching or following the first cut, I've been on this for a long time and I'm not getting off of it. His iron play has been phenomenal. You'll see a little more distance out of him this week with the new driver shaft in play. And I think he has the potential for a big putting week because he's got the toe of the putter back in the ground. So yeah, I love Tony Finau this week. Something big's brewing.
Put me down for Shane Lowry at 55-1. I've been beating that drum and saying that name everywhere I can this week. If it comes to fruition, I don't pay for dinner for a very long time. We got one more, and we're running out of time here, fellas. Quickly, a top 10 lock you like. Rick, lead us off.
Joaquin Niemann, probably the second best tee to green player in the world. He's won twice on LIV. He's been playing all over the globe. He's been playing incredibly well. He's motivated. He needed this invite. I think he plays well this week.
Xander Schauffele, all he does is finish inside the top 10. Might not win, but he'll be on the first page.
And Will Zalatoris, for me, talked about it already, his major record. It's no accident.
All right, fellas. TV, not podcast, so we got to say goodbye for Rick Gaiman, Kyle Porter, Greg Ducharme, Patrick McDonald. I'm Joe Musso saying thanks for having me. We got plenty more coming throughout the week on the First Cut Podcast, on CBS Sports Network, on CBS Sports HQ. Hit them straight, roll them true. We'll see you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.